Thank you, Clerk. I would like to call the Appropriations Committee meeting back into order. Okay, we are going to go back up then to, on our agenda, to discuss ONCA 26-01, which is an act to amend ONCA 2596 to provide supplemental appropriations to the executive branch in the amount of $1,690,715, and to establish an alternate effective date. I am the sponsor, so I'll turn it over to second speaker, to Chair.
Thank you, ma'am. You have the floor.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. The first section to be discussed would be the Capital Asset Fund. This is an actual entry that's been recommended from the treasurer. What had happened in previous years, we put the 29.5, I guess it was appropriated into DeBosca's actual budget. The treasurer's asking that we recognize that in capital assets, which I agree, because it meets the qualifications as an asset. This is for an outdoor basketball court that was already appropriated, as I understand, by Congress, just in the wrong section and looks like the wrong line item. I do have a question, though, about the basketball court. If Mr. Martin, are you on the call? Listen, Secretary Bighorse had asked me if I needed him, and I had said no, but I did have a question real quick. This is an outdoor basketball court, but yet we'll still have the indoor basketball court, right? The gym that we used to, you know, was known as the Boys and Girls Gym, the Boys and Girls Club Gym. So we'll still have the gym, is that correct?
Chair.
Yes, uh-huh.
Mr. Martin is not on the line anymore.
Okay, yeah, that's, I understand. Thank you, Jimmy. I was wondering, though, we'll be able to have the indoor basketball court at the gym, and then we're also doing an outdoor. And that's also separate than the basketball court that we did at the park, the outdoor complex. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Congresswoman Whiteburn.
Yes, I just have one more question about the basketball court. I see that we put it in the capital assets section, and then it also says that it should be amending ONCA 2473 as well. Have we caught that amendment?
Congresswoman Rebar.
Yes, thank you. So we, in discussions with Treasurer, we talked about that, and I thought, well, we're already past the end of the fiscal year. So to me, that 29.5 would then turn into become retained revenue if we didn't spend it in FY25. So we're actually recognizing it in FY26 in the proper place.
Okay, I was just curious if we had to amend non-tribal budgets down when the amount went down from previous fiscal years.
This would be a tribal, ma'am.
I know it is. I realize that. So we're just not going to do anything with that then. Okay. If that's cool with everybody, I guess I'm cool with it too.
Okay, so the next section then would be the Cultural Center, and this is a request for $35,030, and these are funds that will go towards program supplies, community events, and of course, IDC. This request is not additional. We actually overlooked it. I'll probably say it went past the director, the secretary, the treasurer, the committee, the budget, everybody. So we actually literally, which is something that we overlooked during a session where the program supplies. And Ms. Addy is here to speak to that if there's any questions. The next section was a fitness center, Pawhuska. This is a request of $9,554. You'll notice that they had sent down the initial support docs. They were then corrected, so you'll see a line drawn through, and then the revised docs were resubmitted on 10/28. And this increase will be to travel, supplies, repairs, and maintenance. And then, of course, that would affect their IDC. And again, the total is $9,554.
So, committee, this isn't necessarily about, well, it's about the fitness centers, but not this specific adjustment. But what I wanted to make sure of, because I went back, because some of these things that we're working on in this tribal bill are things that were left out from CEJO. So we're addressing those. And so I just went ahead and checked my notes that we were working out of during session to make sure that we had addressed all the things. And I know that this is a different amendment, but I want to make sure that we considered, and I know we talked about during session, the need for each of the fitness centers to have software systems installed for the 24/7 key card access. So I want to make sure that we address that need, and it didn't need to be in each fitness center's budget, but that it was going to be addressed in either property improvement or CAPS somewhere, wherever it belonged. I just have it in my notes that that was a thing that each of our fitness centers needed. So I realize that I'm kind of going off track here, but while we're working to make sure all these budgets have everything they need, that was one of the notes I had for our fitness centers. So I just want to make sure that that either doesn't need to be addressed at this time, or that we've considered it somewhere and that it has been addressed.
Okay, good point. Casey, are you on the call? I don't believe so.
I am.
Okay. Casey, with the fitness center, did you hear what second speaker said about their request initially in session? During CEJO, do you remember that request about the
key? I do.
Has that been handled for the fitness centers?
I haven't paid for it out of the property improvement, because I don't think that's improving the property. That's something that's allowing individuals access. I mean, it's improving the, you know, the ability to get in the gym, but I don't think it's improving the property as was defined by the previous treasurer. If Mr. Bassett wants to change the definition, that's fine, but that's how we've been operating. I don't see it as us able to utilize that money to, you know, for software and then logins and things like that. I could be wrong, but I'll need to be convinced.
Well, and Secretary Johnson, that's fair. I mean, I just didn't know if we had found a place that that was coming from other than their individual budget specifically, is kind of where I was headed with it. But if it hasn't, and it's something that we need to keep in the back of our minds, we can, I mean, obviously we can move forward with this adjustment on this budget right this minute. But I just was curious if the fitness centers had moved forward on that, and if the funds for each of those things had been found, I guess, is where I'm
at. No, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you, sir. You want to move to the next section, Congresswoman Reburn?
Yes, ma'am. The next section is the health benefit fund. The total amount of the health benefit fund request this year was $16,796. And again, they had submitted documents in the beginning on October 24th. And then we decided they were resubmitted. Again on 10/28, so we'll be looking at those support docs. And the amendment to the original request is $996,000. And Treasurer Batson's here if anybody has any questions regarding the amount of the request. Also, if you remember, committee, we had set that aside, Darren Cijo, as a treasurer's concern to the tune of $500,000, but we hadn't actually appropriated it through a bill or anything. Are there any questions?
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So treasurer, of course we appropriate according to fiscal year, but this fund runs on a calendar year, is that correct? No, it runs, no. Runs fiscal year?
Yes.
Okay. One point in time, I think it ran on calendar year. So will you walk me through this? I need to understand this page right here that you sent to us. I know you've given us really good explanations, but these cash transfers, is that the one on 814, 25, and 826? And then 916 and 925, is that in the normal course of business? Is that how we transfer the money to them? Is it like on a bi-monthly transfer to them?
Well, okay, as people use their benefit card and file for reimbursements, payments get made out to individual OSHA tribal members or healthcare providers. And we had done an appropriation at the beginning of 25. And we had added $500,000 to it in spring session. But in August and September, I had to transfer money into that account to keep it from going. It was out of cash. And we had to put money in there so people's benefit cards would still work, their doctors would still be paid.
Okay. So these cash transfers weren't necessarily out of an appropriation that we had available or in that fund, correct?
They were not.
No. They were not. And so what this ask is for, is it for those? Because see right here, the $996,000 equals up to that. So is this just a reimbursement appropriation you're asking for? Or is it moving forward into FY 2026? I'm confused about.
It's a reimbursement to cover expenses that weren't covered by the appropriation for last year.
But we have plenty in the fund currently to take us through the end of FY 2026.
With this money and the money that was appropriated already for FY 2026, we shouldn't have to do. If our estimates were accurate, we shouldn't have to do anything else till next year.
Perfect. Now I completely understand this document, but it took you telling me that before I completely understood what those cash transfers were. I didn't know. So thank you. I think I'm good to go on this. I don't think I have any more questions about it.
Thank you. I'll move then to the next section, which is law enforcement. The law enforcement folks we're addressing the amount to correct the salary discrepancies and add operation expenses which affect IDC. And I think this is something that second speaker will address. This is something that was an issue during session, and I'll let you speak to the correction.
Well, and also if there's somebody there from that department that would like to speak to this too. Some of the documents that is that Cherokee?
This is Cherokee.
Okay. Cherokee, you want to go ahead and speak to it?
Okay. So during session, the operation expenses were completely taken out, and there was a discrepancy in the salary, which of course affected the fringe, and those are the dollars that we're asking for.
Thank you, ma'am. Yeah, that's exactly what happened, and that's exactly what this is. However, one of the things that I noticed that popped back up on these amended documents that we got was the one-third of the feasibility study. And we took that out of your budget on purpose to, we gave all three parts of it that were spread out between emergency management, wildland fire, and law enforcement, I believe were the three sections that got $17,000 apiece. And we put that, all three pieces together in a separate budget. Yeah, I think we put it in tribal development, maybe strategic planning.
Okay.
But
I was unaware of where it went, so I left it in there so we could figure out, or somebody could tell me where it went, because at the time the debate was emergency management had it in there that couldn't be paid out of IDC, so we never said where it was going to be put.
Yeah, that's what I'm and I have on my notes the three sections it came from.
Correct.
But I need a refresher. I mean, I guess I could pull the bill, or I have the bill on my computer, the spreadsheets. I just need to find where the 17,000 times three ended up, because we may need to amend it out of this bill or this section on this. In this moment is where I'm going. We may need to come back to this section, Congresswoman Rivard, as you move through your bill. I want to get some more information on that just to make sure that we've covered it, because we wanted the feasibility study to be done, but we intended, and if we didn't end up doing that, we need to address that too, but we intended to group all those funds together for one entity to do it on behalf of those three departments. So let me work on that, and we can come back to this section if needed.
I have a question.
Congresswoman Rivard, go ahead.
So, and Treasurer Batson, you might be able to help on this. So when you guys submit documents down here to Congress, your support docs, do you guys not look at the bill that was enacted? I mean, Cherokee, the bill that was enacted is clear. In 2596, your section is 43, law enforcement. So I don't know where the discrepancy was, where we didn't know that the 17,000 got taken out. It's very clear in the bill that it was removed. But yet when the support docs come down, it still includes them. And I'm like, who's doing the support docs? Is it your accountants, Clark? Are they not looking at the bill or the actual bill that was enacted? I don't know where they're not. How do we erroneously just forget that we took 17,000 out of a bill? I don't see what your
I'm going to be honest and say no, we haven't looked. I've been in strategic planning this morning since 10 o'clock, so just before I came here. And that is something that we are going to address internally in Treasury. We have to get organized, and right now we are not. And we are missing stuff that we should catch because we're not organized. And that's why it was so important for me to get that started today, is because, like you, I am getting tired of surprises and getting tired of things that we didn't know about that we should have known about, and we got to get better at it.
Well, and I will say that a lot of this session particularly, there was just a lot of, amended proclamation, support docs coming down twice. And again, it's just like, I don't know, are the directors not getting copies of the bills that are enacted? I don't know what happens once we leave session. You know, a lot of times as the chair, I tend to send out the bills to the directors like, oh, by the way, your stuff passed. Because I don't know that anybody's doing it at executive. I don't know what happens once we're done, but I know that when we come into session, we see these things that are like, well, wait a minute, we already addressed that. So if we can help in any way, Treasurer Batson, let us know, because
again, it's going to take us a lot to get this $17,000 out of this section that shouldn't have been here in the first place.
Ms. Cherokee said something, and then I would like Casey to see if he could help us refresh our memory after Ms. Cheshwala gets done and see if he can help us remember where we put it. I believe it is in tribal development, but I would want to see a breakout of their professional fees line. Cherokee, go ahead.
So, and the reason I put it back in, I get that you guys took it out, but it was not relayed anywhere. And when I left Congress during regular session, it was with the intention that we were going to come back. However, the budget did not get sent back. Therefore, we didn't come back down there, which is understandable completely. So that could fall on me as well, because the importance of the feasibility study, it didn't show it anywhere, and I got no documentation, and neither did Secretary Williams in regards to where those dollars went.
Secretary Johnson, can you help us out a little bit here in this conversation?
Ma'am, I will attempt.
Thank you.
You're putting the heat on me. I know we discussed this, and I remember, I think I texted you and Congresswoman Rivard, and I suggested putting it in strategic planning. But because it's about the big emergency management, the feasibility study for an emergency management control center, right?
Yes, sir.
I don't remember. I'm looking for that cap asset budget now. So stay with me. I will try to find it.
Thank you. Congresswoman Whitehorn, and then Treasurer Batson, would you be able to pull up quickly the tribal development professional fees line item breakout to see what that's for and see if that's where it got moved? Because I think we did have the discussion about moving it to strategic planning, Secretary Johnson, and I think we determined that it was not IDC allowable.
Chair.
I think we did.
Mr. Aldridge.
Yes, ma'am. I just spoke with Amy Bellamy in strategic planning and self-governance, and that's exactly what happened. They run off IDC money, and it was determined it couldn't be put under there.
That's what I remember as well. Congresswoman Whitehorn, did you have something?
That's what I was wanting to ask. Strategic planning, I didn't think, had a tribal budget, so, and I think we determined it had to be tribal dollars to do that with. So I'm not exactly sure what budget that made it into. I know we had several discussions, but I guess my question is right now, since we have this bill in front of us, I still don't think it's any of our intentions just to leave the $17,000 hanging out in that section. So I have an amendment I'd like to propose, and so we can move on with this piece of legislation if there's no objections to that.
No, go ahead.
I move to amend ONCA 2601, page 8, line 348.5, strike 17,000, and adjust totals accordingly.
Okay. Thank you, committee. There's a motion and a second. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. Thank you. The motion passes. And Cherokee, I don't want you to be afraid that we don't want the feasibility study to happen. I do want to find where it went and where it's supposed to be, because the intention was to group all three of those sections together into that total $51,000 cost. So we will locate it and we will figure that out.
I actually just pulled up cap assets, not that I look at anybody else's budget. But it does, at the bottom of under the equipment acquisition, it says multi-purpose building / tribal development, $50,000. I'm assuming that's where it is.
That's not it, actually. That's for something totally different. This would be a $51,000 total that would be specifically, need to be specifically outlined for a feasibility study.
Then it's not in cap assets budget either.
Correct.
So wherever you guys decide, as long as I get my operations and the salaries are back to what they need to be, the rest is flexible.
Madam Chair.
Secretary Johnson.
Yeah, I'm starting to remember things.
you and me both.
I think my original suggestion, that the strategic planning was in a text to you guys. On in session, I recommended taking all of them because they were in wildland fire, sea management, and Chief Williams. I recommended taking all of them and just putting them under Chief Williams for professional fees. So, I mean, that was my recommendation at the time. And I'll be honest, I didn't pay any attention to what y'all did with it after that.
Well, and I appreciate that. And that's kind of where I wanted to head with it because, and if if Treasurer Batson could help us out on the, because the only other place that we landed on that would possibly fit would be in tribal development. But if it isn't articulated in their professional fees, and it might not be because it's only $130,000 in that line, then we would need to do the work right this minute in law enforcement or somewhere and put it in, put the whole amount in for Secretary Williams to figure it out somewhere. So Congresswoman Rivard and then Whitehorn.
Okay, so the original submission of the tribal development budget that came down on August 15th, which was the very first submission of support docs, had professional fees at the time to the tune of $75,000. That was for commissioning, testing, HVAC improvements. Okay, that was the initial request. Now they have in the actual bill, 2596, tribal development has $130,000 in professional fees. So that tells me there was definitely an addition of $75,000.
That'd be $55,000.
$55,000, I should say, then towards their, there's an increase in there to their budget. Now, as far as being in committee and remembering what we amended into that, I do know that talking about the feasibility study, we thought it would be better. Now, in a, probably yes, does it make more sense to have it in strategic planning? Yes, probably a lot more in that budget, but we don't look at it that way in this government. So it was found, I think, in tribal development is where that we had put those, but definitely we didn't split them up among programs. I know that.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So research and development, I guess it is really. R&D does not go into capital assets budget, does it? It can't go in there, can it? Well, we have it open. That's all I'm saying. We've got this open. If we could stick $51,000 in there, that'd be good. But
yeah, I think we already have it. I think it's in tribal development.
Okay, well, let's just, can we
move That's, on? Yeah, here? We can move on to another section, and then if Treasurer is able to confirm that for us, that would be okay. Ideal.
So, and I apologize. What I'm doing is trying to let Cherokee, who's not even the director, Secretary Williams, I don't know where he is today, but I'm sure he has good reason not
He's
to be here.
Sick.
But for you, Cherokee, I just want you to know, I think it's in tribal development, so good luck.
It's not in tribal development.
Okay, thank
you. We can worry about it next year.
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll figure it out. It's somewhere, I promise. If not just in our thoughts and prayers, it's somewhere. Okay, let's move to the next section.
Okay, the next section is Treasury. So the treasurer comes to us today, and he's requesting $128,686, and that request is
for salaries, benefits, and of course, IDC, and somewhat looks like professional fees. Treasurer Batson, you want to speak to your request, sir?
Yeah, there's some wages that I wanted to increase for positions, and I'm going to be honest and upfront here, it does include mine. I'm not going to hide that. And additional money for, I still haven't, for now, there's no controller, and I'm going to need extra money for contractual help, especially with audit preparation. And I put in some money because I wanted to increase the contract for our contract account that we have now.
So I'm going to have to ask a question. Some of the discussion we had after special session, I mean, after TJO, was we were going to come back and address merit for 26, new positions, those two things. That's what we told everybody, that we would come back in. Well, we're not. This special session had nothing to do with either one, but that was what we had told, you know, that's what we had talked about after session. So are you then saying then the Treasury Department will, or these, what type of pay increases are this for your, like after you've done your evals and these are pay increases for the year? I'm just saying, is everybody else afforded the pay increases just like the Treasury Department? Why are we just addressing yours and not the overall executive branch?
I'm fine delaying them until we do the other. You know, this session got called. We had it prepared. We sent it down. If we want to wait and look at the new positions and merit bonuses for next year, I'm okay with that.
I just don't want to have special session, you know, and only address one department and not address everybody, because that's what we had told everyone, was that we're right now we're only addressing what's been submitted without, you know, any merit for 26 or any new positions. We were going to talk about it because we were kind of concerned about our balance, the IDC deficit, most certainly. And so I don't know. I was just wondering if the committee remembered that, or is it just me? It looks like that you're requesting for your department, but we're not seeing requests for the other department. Is that because they weren't aware that they could?
We didn't have time on this session to get all, we have most of it prepared, but we did not have time to bring everything that would have been requested down for this special session.
Congresswoman Rivard.
Chair, and again, I don't have a problem with the professional fees, because I agree. If the position isn't filled, I mean, when do you plan to fill your controller position?
In all likelihood, it probably would be next spring at the earliest, for immediate needs that we have to get done now for audit prep and various things. It's going to be contracted out through Native Advisors, which is Lacey's firm. For some of the big projects like capital asset additions for FY25, the subscription-based information technology agreements, capital leases, that was stuff the controller did last year that we have to do it in this year, and we don't have to, and that's how we're going to do it for this year's audit. We don't have, there's not time to get somebody in soon enough and get them up to speed to do it internally.
Committee, anything further? Congresswoman Whitehorn?
I do. So we're looking at the tribal, looking at the support docs for the tribal. So It seems that the same amount of pay increase is requested in each one. Now they're different amounts. Okay. So some comes out of the IDC on yours, on the salary and wages, and some comes out of tribal dollars. And both of those in the salary and wages lines have been increased. Is that correct, Treasurer?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I see now.
Chair, if I may.
Go ahead.
Treasurer Batson, you weren't here, but we already addressed the IDC bill. And in that IDC bill had procurement and treasury in there. Were those requests addressing the salary increases as well?
In procurement, I would like Congress to address it in this time. There's a staff member that Claire and I want to retain. And we need that. We would both feel better about being able to do so if that happens.
Congresswoman Regard?
Well, we've already approved and sent out the IDC budget piece of it, which would have included the IDC portion of the salary increases for Treasury. And so, but this piece of it, now look, I'm just going to say, I'm not opposed to pay increases, believe me, and I'm definitely not opposed to merit pay at all. I just want to make sure that that's something that's that each department is able to do. So even the legislative branch at this point, anybody that's in this government. So I just want to make sure that Treasurer Batson, you're saying you chose to bring it down now because it was last minute. Was it something that was left out? Why now? I mean, did you leave them out of your the initial request, Darantejo?
They were there. They were taken out of the initial request upon direction from executive to take out new positions and raises. And when this session got called, I'd wanted it last time. And when the special session was called, I was like, send ours down.
Well, that's that's kind of what I'm saying is I'm just thinking that that should be across the board. If we're going to address it as a Congress, I'd like to address everyone's rather than just one department. That's just where I think we should be. I don't understand the way that the executive has handled their merit. It was very unclear during Sejo. I don't have a clear understanding still on how they do it. I think we tried to get with Mr. Julio a couple of times, and that wasn't very successful. But for all these directors that are sitting here in FY26 trying to figure out, how they're going to address pay increases, there should be something that's across the board. It's my opinion. Thank you.
Okay, committee, there's a couple of ways to go about this. So we just need to think through that. Somebody could make an amendment to go back to old totals in the salary and wages line and would also need to go back to you have it on your support docs is really what I'm trying to say. You have former totals on your salaries and wages lines, your fringe, and your IDC lines. If we wanted to leave the professional fees alone, because those are contract conversations, those aren't merit-based conversations. So we could just make amendments to three lines and do it, adjust totals accordingly. I want to remind, so treasurer is not a merited employee. That doesn't mean that he couldn't go down with the ship and address his pay raise later when his employees are also entitled to a pay raise. later, but he just by default will not be part of the merit conversation, but that does not mean that we can't include the salary conversation for him at the same time. Because I see where he's going, and I see where his head is, and that we can take it out, and he'll go down with the ship on that too, and I appreciate that. But I just need the committee to decide what they're going to do with this section. Congresswoman Whitehorn?
So I think Treasurer Batson's more familiar with the treasury law, or more close to it, and it's in fresh in his mind. So Congress sets your salary, is that correct, according to the statutory law? Does it say that or not?
It's set, Congress sets it by what's in the budget.
Right, by what?
It doesn't specifically set it like it does for chief and Congress members.
Right, but I think that, yeah, we do. We do it by appropriation. So I think maybe it would be appropriate to have this conversation in an executive session. But, you know, I'm all for you being paid a fair market rate for somebody that does comparable work in your field with your education and expertise. And to me, if you feel like a raise is merited, then we need to take a look at that. But I think we need to do it in a forum where we can talk about it. So I just now knew that this is what we were doing here in total when I started looking at this tribal budget. So I don't care how we, I do care, but how would you guys like to proceed? We can make amendments, address it in the future. I understand you wanting to keep an employee in procurement that already has come out on the IDC side as well. And also we passed the budget out that had the treasury raises for your personnel. And I think it was just three people of your personnel. And so we've already sent that out onto the floor, but we can amend that on the floor as well.
And if we can, I would like it to get through for my staff if we could. We can hold mine. So.
Congresswoman Rebard.
Yes, thank you. You make a good point. And I actually just made this point back to Chief the other day about Treasurer Batson. And I had to remind everybody that he is an appointee. He is not a merited employee. And I see there's some type of confusion a little bit over at executive how they treat him, I'll say. I'm like, whoa, 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 now he's not a merited employee. He's an appointed and confirmed by this body. So he's like elected, so just not elected, but you know, he's different than merited. Thank you for bringing, so that does make it somewhat different, looking at it through that lens, for me anyway, because he is an appointee. He is not merited, so he's not like the other. I think so then we have, what, the AG, the treasurer, and then chief has a cabinet of, I think, his chief of staff. Like he's got four, maybe. Alicia. So I'm just trying to think of our appointed people. So it's kind of rare, or not rare, but there's not as many. Well, of course, and I do appreciate you trying to defend your employees. I do appreciate that. We've already kind of sent out the other bill is what I'm saying at this point. At the end of the day, we could fix it on the floor or not. Or move it. I have you talked to Kahika about this at all? Does he know you were submitting this, Clark?
Actually, I talked to Chief of Staff Zahn about this. We discussed it when the budget was originally done.
Committee, any movement? Movement is really not what I'm going for. Any action on this section? Speaker Shaw, and then Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Thank you. It would seem to me, in all fairness, we need to remove these at this point until we're able to address additional ones. That's what I feel like is appropriate. So I'll be happy to propose an amendment if needed.
Thank you, Speaker. I feel the same way, and I don't want this to be construed as the fact that we don't want to do it. Because we do. And I think it's warranted, and I think it's wise when he's not a secretary or a director, but he is over that department. When he comes down here and he advocates for his employees to have a specific, an appropriate pay rate, that should be commended. However, I do want to address it as a whole to make sure that we're affording everybody the same opportunities to advocate for their employees in that way. Inside of the merit structure, of course, that we have talked about, but then also the new positions conversation or the open position conversation or people taking on different roles or additional roles when those new roles haven't been filled, all the things, right? I want to talk about all of it. So yes, I'm of the same opinion you are. That's why I mean it when I said it, we do need to remember that, you know, treasurer is not a merited employee, but that doesn't mean that he should not be coming down here and advocating for himself. But in this sense, he is the leader, and I feel like removing that section, while I do feel like having a conversation about his pay rate is deserved at the moment, I think he needs to go down with his team.
The whole
section needs to just be removed, and we'll address it as a whole in a fair way later. So if we need to recess for a moment to get our bearings about the type of amendment and all the wording, we can. We're up against a 30-minute timeline, so about 5 or 10 minutes, folks. 10 minutes, will that do us? Congresswoman Whitehorn?
I can write an amendment while we work, continue to work. We still have people here with sections, so I'll do it, but I'm not, but blame somebody else for axing it, okay? I mean, I'll write the amendment.
That's fair. And then
I'll write it for you and you can read it.
And I do want the committee to bear in mind, before I acknowledge Congresswoman Rivard, I want us to bear in mind what he has mentioned about procurement in the IDC budget. Mm-hmm. And that's a different frame of mind thinking, I think, than in the merit conversation for that budget. But then we do need to address the IDC Treasury budget, probably with a floor amendment. So we need to prepare that as well, because that's where we are. So anyway, Congresswoman Rivard, and then let's recess.
Oh, just wanted to make sure.
Not recess.
Could we also consider his request for professional fees, though, as well?
That's what I do. I do think it's appropriate to leave the professional fees request in this budget, so I don't want to see that amended out.
Okay, thank you. That's. I would agree to the amendment if it's written as such, that it addresses his procurement and addresses the contractual request. And then we'll address the rest later.
Yes.
Thank
yes,
you, ma'am. Treasurer Batson, for being considerate.
Okay. Wow. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Committee, let's move to the next section to be mindful of our other folks that are here. So the next section is WIC. Congresswoman Rivard, I'll let you take it away.
Okay, thank you. So also I want the committee to be mindful. I believe Congressman Hamilton has a health committee scheduled to address a lot of the issues that are going on with the shutdown, WIC and SNAP and things of that nature. So I don't want to take away from his agenda as well. What I'd like to talk about in this committee with Director Bowman and Secretary Bledsoe is that let's discuss, you know, their request, the $300,000, and with WIC, and that it is a reimbursement. We can get reimbursed. But maybe we listen to her with regards to their request. She has an update as well. Or whoever you want to speak, Ms. Teresa, do you want to speak, or you have Ms. Donna? Okay. Hello there.
Hello. So I am basically glued to the television, have been for 60 days almost. Things change daily. New things come up, even with SNAP, food distribution, everything. We did get another allotment, and it was a little bit more than the reallocation that we had last month, and so we are good through November. When I first initially brought this to Clark's attention, it was for November because we weren't aware we were going to get the contingency funds and as well as the customs receipts, and that did come through this Monday. So all this has already been submitted. So this will be for December. Should the government still be shut down at that time? But we are currently standing okay through November.
So I have a question, Ms. Donna. So under the I guess grants that you operate, that would be WIC breastfeeding, your senior farmers market, and then the regular farmers market. And this request would only address the WIC.
Correct, because we're not working out a farmer's market yet. It's not the season.
Okay, and then you're the WIC.
And the breastfeeding is lumped in the state plan through WIC.
Okay, we just want to make sure we're not going to miss any of your clients.
No, and we on our breastfeeding, those funds carry over. So we're working on carryover. We're actually working out of FY23, I believe.
Okay, and what year are you working out of on your current WIC?
It's all the same. We don't carry over funds. We only carry over a small percentage. So that's already been carried over. So FY25 is over and done.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I just wanted to make sure that we don't miss. So you're saying then right now you don't need it, but are you asking us to go ahead and appropriate?
In case, yes.
Treasurer, are you good with that too? Like us getting ahead of this and appropriating the money, even though we don't need it in November, just to have it?
Yeah, I would prefer to do that so we don't end up in another special session if it hasn't got addressed again next month.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where I've landed too, is because we're up against the holidays, you know, and you know, rumor mill, of course, is running really quickly right now as far as DC is concerned, and there's rumor that this could go on past Thanksgiving. So I feel like if we didn't fund this right now, knowing that it would be December monies, if this really does actually go past Thanksgiving, then you're up against the 1st of December really quick. And then that would push us, you know, in kind of having to make really quick decisions at the beginning of December to meet this need rather than taking care of it now. So I think it would be, because we can always adjust and pull these dollars back if needed, if that's something that we chose to do. I think that's an easier thing to do than to operate in emergency mode and try to come into session right after Thanksgiving to take care of December. So I personally would like to see it stay, but know that it would be used in December if needed, or we could pull it back if we decided to. That's just me.
Chair, that would be the only, I do want to compliment the executive branch. And, you know, initially when we reached out, we thought we're all good because we didn't know. And I mean, as soon as we started finding out we're not, they really started moving. And I with all the information and Treasury and Grant, everybody working together, like, let's get this. You know, let's try to get ahead of it. I don't know that we're ever going to get ahead of it, but if I have time, I'm always going to remind everybody right now, our government is open. Mm-hmm. And I'm very proud of that right now because, you know, a lot of folks, they forget we're a government. We are open. And we're here to address issues that the United States federal government, they do not want to address. Cowardly. You know, they don't want to come to the table, but here we are, and we're trying to address it. And I just think that's very commendable for all of us, and I hope we can provide enough, a lot of help for our people. And I'm excited to have that discussion, even though I'm not on the health committee, but with that committee about what this looks like for us. And and I'm glad that everybody is glued to the news reports about what's going on. And I know the chief and speaker, they're staying in touch. They're talking about who they're talking to with our lobbyists and things of that nature. So I just want to say kudos to all of you guys that have been involved in this to get us to where we are right now. Because it is, you're right, it's changing daily, you know, so. But if the treasurer and the director, you know, agree, I think we ought to just keep this, if that's okay with the committee. I don't want to say the just in case, but it is reimbursable. Mm-hmm. And then that's one thing I do like about the dollars is that they're reimbursable funds if we were to have to access those.
Anything else, committee? Congresswoman Whitehorn, do you have an amendment prepared?
No,
We've decided to leave the professional fees as they were, correct?
Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
Yeah, I'm almost finished. It'll be just like a minute and a half.
Okay, no problem. Is there anything else we want to talk about just for the fun of it?
Well, I mean, we do have Ms. Teresa here. I think, you know, with what you're hearing now, Ms. Bledsoe, with regards to, you know, like the SNAP and the other issues in front of us right now, well, you know, we have Osages that are being affected over at our own BIA. And I think there's 11, include an employee from our BTFA office. But that doesn't include our Osages that are out there working for the government that do not live here at home. And we know some of them that are being affected. And so, you know, the WIC and the SNAP, I see as supplements to a household, but you have households that are getting nothing. Nothing at all. They're not even able to pay their mortgages, their rent, their, you know, I mean, yeah, their rent, their elect, they're getting nothing. And I know that we sit here and say, oh, you should at least have 4 months worth of bills saved. You know, that's hard to do in today's time. And so I really want to commend, you know, the executive branch for, you know, trying to reach out and help. So here's where, again, we've talked about this, the red tape with the federal government and the state and how long it takes them to address issues, where we can address things a lot quicker, mm-hmm. a lot sooner. And I'm very proud of that, too. The way our government is set up, our structure, we can address things rather quickly. Whereas the state and the, you know, the feds, they're not able to do so. But I am very impressed that we can go into special session and address. But we have policies in our executive branch, like say crisis policy. Those are amendable. I mean, right now, Director Kimball can go and amend that policy and chief can approve it within minutes, and we can serve our people that quick, within a day, that quick. We can waive policy right now. If you ask somebody that's a shareholder on a fixed income, oh, hey, you know, prove to me that you're getting your, you know, your, let's see your IIM account, your monies, they can't call and get that verification. Well, you can get money. You can call the 188, or I think it's 188 something, and get your request money out of your IIM. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can do that. Yes, ma'am.
The times are limited on that.
Yeah. It takes a lot. I'm telling you, you're on hold a long time, but yeah. You can do so. But yeah, I'm just. But there are some that have, and it's unfortunate.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I don't want to cut anybody off in their discussion, but I'm my amendment's complete. If you guys are ready, were you filling time, Jenny?
She was filling time for us. I asked for it, so that's fair. Congresswoman Whitehorn, go ahead.
I move to amend ONCA 2602, page 9, line 380.
2601.
I hope I'm on the right bill, guys. I think I am. Okay. 2601, page 9, line 385 and a half, strike 210037 and insert 176891, line 386 and a half, strike 57760 and insert 48670, line 93, strike
393.
Yes, excuse me, 393, strike 93584 and insert 82044 and adjust totals accordingly. That's my amendment.
Second.
Thank you. There is a motion to amend and a second. Is there any discussion on the amendment?
I will just say what that does amend. It amends the salary and wages line. It amends the benefits line. And it amends the IDC line. And it's taken everything out that's in the amendment. And it goes back to the original totals is what I've done. So if that's what we intended to do, I think that is what we intended to do.
I would agree.
And leaving the professional fees.
It left the professional fees intact, yes.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Okay, is there any more discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, no. Thank you. The amendment passes. Okay, committee, that brings us to the end of this bill. Is there any action?
Chair.
Speaker.
Motion to report ONCA 26-01 to Congress with the due pass as amended recommendation.
Second.
Thank you. There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, no. Thank you. Hearing none, the motion passes and it will be passed to Congress. The next item, ONCA 2602. Did we do that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. We did that first, didn't we? Okay. All right.
So when, I know y'all are ready to go, but I'm like, look, we've got until 14 minutes. I do want to make sure that everybody received their reports from Treasurer Batson. Thank you for the revolving fund balances and the FY25 projected revenue report that you sent that shows, you know, that we're hitting our mark. We did put an item on here for you to speak. Is there anything you wanted to speak to? We always try to leave an agenda or, you know, you on here if you had anything you wanted to address for the committee.
As for now, I liked Maria's idea about executive session because there is stuff for us to talk about that, you know, we can talk about positions and stuff, but there is stuff that it would be a lot easier in executive session.
Okay.
And I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, like we emailed earlier this week, we're going to meet and come up with a game plan to do the stuff that we were expecting to come back and do before the special session popped up.
All right, well, thank you, committee. And then our last item would then, I guess, be adjournment. Motion and second. All those in favor to adjourn, say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed? We are adjourned.